justice.
Log Talk Radio, we back on your airwaves, Blog Talk, Apple Podcast, and our friends at iHeart Radio Podcast. We are on your airwaves. This is the Brothers Podcast, and it is your boy, Andre, in the building, all the way down in Charm City, representing the state. Well, you got to be more careful. It's the doctor of them all, our professor, our residential professor, Maurice, is in the building.
Good evening, everybody. We got to talk about this, be more careful.
Listen, it was my favorite book, and one of my favorite books, and it's in Baltimore, you know, be more, so you got to be more careful. You might get attacked by Master Splinter and be more. And all the way to the city of Brother Lilo. Yes, sir. Where those bum Eagles are now making their way into another AFC game. But who really cares about the Eagles? Anywho, it's the one and only, the publisher of all publishers, our residential philosopher, if you will, Javon is in the building.
What's up, people?
And of course, your boy is representing the first stay home of our great president, Joseph R. And we are just excited to be back on your airwaves on tonight. It has been a heck of a week. I got a chance to go see the play Jabari Dreams of Freedom today, and I was slightly embarrassed because I've never had so many how can I put this nicely, so many chocolate children offbeat in my life. Been a heck of a week so far, and it's only Tuesday, so y'all know how I feel right about now. But speaking of this crazy week, let's go into our hot topics. So rap group Run-DMC, the legends, are retiring after this final concert as we celebrate 50 years of hip-hop. What's your thoughts?
I thought they had already retired, so I
yeah, I said the same thing. I thought they had already retired.
Y'all cannot come.
So, I hope they have a good one.
Y'all can't come for these pioneers like that. Run DMC is hosting their final concert in New York City. They're bringing on special guests. Wu-Tang Clan is going to be there. I believe they said Aerosmith. It's going to be definitely a legendary concert. I mean, you know, Run DMC been in the game for a long time. You know, they're the reason I rock Adidas, for real, for real. But, you know, I thought they had retired when Rev Run was on MTV, for real, for real. But this is their last hurrah. I personally feel that the era that they represented in the rap game has been over with for a while. But, hey, who am I? But I'm glad that they actually are you know, lacing up the rap boots, and I wish them all the best of luck. I won't call him a friend to the show, but Danny Boy called out Ray J. Apparently, Ray J was spreading some personal details about Danny Boy being gay, and Danny Boy said, when I was doing what I was doing with who I was doing it with, I wasn't the only one in the building. Ray was there, too. What y'all think about that?
Very, very messy, but quite interesting. Quite interesting to call out someone else, because, you know, people like to throw rocks and then hide the hand. So I want to see how this is going to play out. Of course, you know, I want to see what Ray J is going to say. But it's interesting. It's very interesting. He came out. Danny Boy came out, and then apparently Ray J spreading his business like most people do. So I want to see what's going to happen next.
Yeah. You never know, you know. In 2023, what people once held close because it was your business, they don't care no more. So this is all going to be out there. It's just going to be one big old messy mess.
Extremely messy.
I mean, but let's be real, though. Ray J got most of his popularity from something that deals with messiness. So, I mean, like, is this something that you guys are actually surprised that Ray J did? I mean, you know, like, if we look at it, you know, I really feel like, you know, let's be real. I mean, how do we know Ray J? Kim Kardashian porn, horrible relationship, piss poor performance on College Hill reunion or the celebrity edition of College Hill. We're not going to go back to the verses. They're still making money off of his name. So, I mean, I just feel like this is typical Ray J fashion. Young Thug was arrested in court. If we could ever call something a dumbass moment of the week, this will probably be hands down. Young Thug was handed drugs by his co-defendant in court, and they were both immediately arrested. What the hell did you think was going to happen? You in court, dog. What y'all think?
what is exactly he's in court? Because I'm out of the loop of why is he in jail in court? What is the case that's happening, first of all?
Well, he was already in court, I believe, on murder charges, if I'm not mistaken, on murder charges. So this was his trial, and they handed him the co-defendant handed him a pain pill in the middle of court. So I don't understand the concept here of what he was going. Like, you already going to jail. It was a Percocet, to be exact. And I was trying to get to his original charges while we were talking. But his co-defendant, you know, pretty much just slipped him perk. He is currently being charged with racketeering, homicide, drug trafficking, theft, and bodily injury. And it's an 88-page indictment.
Good Lord.
Whoa.
Yeah,
so
he's going to
be under the jail.
Yeah, prosecutors have framed him as King Slime, alleging that he led YSL gang members to commit violent crimes to make money and gain power. And as of right now, he's facing 8 of 65 potential charges.
8 of 65
potential
wow.
charges.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. It's the 65 charges for me.
Absolutely.
That's a lot.
I don't have much to say on that note. Like, it's, yeah.
I feel you. I feel you, yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. You get signed to all of this money as a hip-hop artist, and you decide what I'm going to do as a hip-hop artist is forget the amount of money I just got signed to. I'm gonna lead a gang.
Right.
And I'm not saying that there hasn't been others who may have done it or tried to do it. But at the end of the day, yeah, like, really, dog?
I think, I'm after hearing a lot of artists say that they didn't really start making it until maybe like their third or fourth, fifth album. It's crazy. I just feel like it's crazy. Like, yeah. I guess I'm lost for words because it feels like here we are, another rap artist just involved in some crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is art really imitating life?
Absolutely.
Art really imitating life.
So fans are snapping out because Viola Davis and Taylor Swift were snubbed when it comes to Oscar nominations. How do we feel about this? Are we surprised?
I was shocked about Viola. I don't really care about Taylor. Definitely shocked about Viola, but very pleased that Angela Bassett has been given a nomination. But just I'm just shocked that for Viola, I didn't see Woman King, so unfortunately I need to watch that. But I felt like she should have been given something in the category. But just very happy for Angela. Just very happy for Angela Bassett.
Yeah, I was actually shocked that Woman King didn't receive anything. It was a very good movie. I don't know what Taylor Swift would have been up for, because all I know is she sings some songs. So she was not really on my radar. But, yeah, I thought at least Viola would have gotten a nomination. But excited for Angela. Because even with her nomination, it's historical because she would be the first Marvel character achieve
right.
this award. no other Marvel character has won such a high award for acting. So, go Angela.
Yeah, go Angela.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I mean, Woman King definitely was a dynamic movie. It's one of the grossed very well at the box office. It's grossing very well, even on streaming, streaming on online now, or streaming on you know, our TV, smart TVs, and all that good stuff through streaming services. But I really, I am really surprised. I'm not surprised at the Oscars per se. Because Oscars are known for snatching out or snubbing fan favorites every year. I am very surprised that the people that they have who chooses who gets nominated. I really believe there has to come a time where we sat down some people by now for you know, like, I believe, like, because to me, like, one of the biggest forms of racism has always been TV and entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Hollywood, definitely.
Yeah, you know, Hollywood has always been one of the most undercover but most blunt forms of racism to me. And I feel that we have a cancel culture for everything. When do we as people, as African-Americans especially, when do we cancel actually watching things? Because our people are not represented correctly. And while we do have Angela Bassett being nominated, I really feel a lot of the things that we are looking at has really just been the fact that, you know, we got to throw at least one in. So who do we pick? So is it going to be Viola, or is it going to be Angela, or is it going to be what's her name? Abbott Elementary.
Oh my God.
Green Girl.
Shirley Ralph.
There we go. So, you know, it has to be somewhere or something, and I just feel like there's too much going on to me when it comes to the foolishness of Hollywood. Big thing this year, for some odd reason, has been high schools or high schoolers with guns. When does the pandemic stop? Delaware, I'm quite sure it was on the news where you guys live. We just had an incident of a 16-year-old in Delaware who decided to shoot a gun in the school bathroom, caused the entire school to be placed on lockdown. He has been arrested. Now we have a 14-year-old arrested for a gun found in a high school bathroom in Florida. We have had a number of school shootings over the next 10 years at least. When does this end? And when can we think it will be better in our schools? When do our schools become safe again?
I can't say, as a teacher, as an educator working in a school with over 2,000 students, it's kind of hard to tell because, again, safety is our number one concern. But it's often hard to get, like I told y'all, at my school, it wasn't a gun, but we found that there was a BB gun found in the restroom, one of the restrooms. So I don't know when schools will become safe. It's hard to tell based on, you know, so many things they're trying not to do, but yet there's so many things that need to happen. Like, no metal detectors, no, my students constantly complain about having to put their backpacks in their lockers. It's just, I don't know. It's weird and crazy. And I think once we kind of enforce better laws, reform some of these laws, and reform and get these school districts more active with school safety, then we'll see a change. But I don't think we're going to see a change anytime soon. I'll tell you that right now.
I agree. You know, I was watching something the other day. I don't remember what it was on, and someone said, I've never had a time in my life where school shootings didn't exist. Mm-hmm. We don't have that story. This is a new phenomenon. This is something that's just started over the last 20 or so years to be this prevalent problem. But it's going to take a lot of effort from family, from educators, from government. It's not going to be answered in one source. And I think that's where the problem has been. We've tried to lay blame or responsibility on one source. Well, if the parents this, or if the teachers this, or if, no, we all got to work together. The whole gamut has to come together to put into perspective how we change this.
Yes.
Because I think about even the six-year-old earlier this month, the fact that they were able to get to a gun,
mm-hmm.
they were able to know what a gun, one, they know what it looks like, how to get to it, and how to use it.
How to use it, right.
Intentionally shoot somebody. That's not just by happenstance. That's because I've been watching. That's because, or you taught me what this was
right.
for, but I'm using it for another reason. So there's so many different components that come into that.
I wonder where and where are they getting access to these guns? Where? Just my thing is the where. Like, how do they even get these guns? How? Just where?
And that's a valid question.
Do y'all believe we should charge the parents if we charge the children?
I think that's something that should be looked into.
Mm-hmm.
With the six-year-old.
If your child brings a gun to school and your child shoots a gun in school or shoots a gun, period, not even just in school, if your child gets charged with possession of a gun, shooting a gun, murder, do you think the parents should be charged as well as the child?
Most definitely.
I think they should, especially if they got access to the gun by way of the parent.
Exactly. Why are you not, you know, why are you not locking this gun up, and why does your child know where to find it? Why are we so reckless? And then when they're interviewed on TV, I didn't know. What you mean you don't know? You had a gun in the house.
Right.
But that's the thing. Is the gun necessarily in the house?
That's a great question.
Is the gun necessarily in the house? Or, and better yet, is your child even in the house? Like, I mean, I'm here in Delaware, and I'm presenting to the state because I'm tired of presenting to the state, a write-up about how we need to reinforce stricter codes when it comes to young people having curfews in Delaware, because I believe in order to get some of the violence off the streets, you got to get rid of the people who are causing the violence. So if I'm a cop, and I see a young person walking outside after a certain time of night, especially if it's, you know, 11, 12, 1 o'clock, and a child is walking outside, a teenager is walking outside, why are we not as public safety officials concerned about the safety of our public, and or why we're not concerned about why children are not in the house on a school night after 11 o'clock?
Oh, most definitely. Like, we need to just... Yeah, we need to refocus on that.
Right.
Because there's some questions that need to be answered.
Absolutely.
A lot of them.
Well, the queen has resurfaced after foot surgery, and the resurfacing of the queen has given her $24 million. Beyonce was paid for her latest performance at the Atlantis, the Royal Hotel in Dubai. And from what the internet is saying, some of her fans are not happy, especially those who are in same-sex relationships, because you know, in Dubai, that is a illegal and could be punishable by death. So a lot of people are very upset about her actually accepting the performance in Dubai. Now, me personally, if you pay me that much money to perform, $24, $25 million to perform for 60 minutes, gay or not, I'm taking it. I don't care who pissed off.
I think we overdo causes, and I don't think we overdo our anger about Beyonce performing in Dubai. Like, okay, she's in Dubai. Let it go. This is her profession. This is her profession. And how she chooses to narrate that profession or do that profession with whom she chooses to do it with is not of our concern.
Absolutely.
And I'm just saying,
this was
I know people are not going to like that, but okay.
This was my thought. Y'all mad that she performed in Dubai, but y'all wanted to perform in Florida, Texas, North Carolina, South Carolina. What's the difference?
But I don't understand this. I have never seen her on a pride bill.
Yeah, me neither.
Yet she's protected by the LGBTQ community. So my issue is you're pissed at her making her money in Dubai, but you're not pissed off that she has yet to perform at one of your own events.
True.
I've even done research to see even if maybe the original Destiny's Child may have performed at a pride. You know, maybe they had a pride cella, but you look at the Beehive, and the Beehive has a lot of LGBTQ community members in the Beehive, but you're pissed off at her going to a country that bans same-sex marriages. When do you get pissed off that she has yet to show up to anything you've done?
I find it interesting that she has not ever performed at a pride event. And I also find it interesting that folks are more upset about Dubai than, yeah, I agree.
Speaking of LGBTQ, Little Boozy's daughter came out with her boo thing on her live, on her Instagram or Facebook live, and her boo thing happened to be a female. Everyone knows Little Boozy is against the LGBTQ community. He has voiced his opinion very strongly about Dwayne Wade's daughter, and now his daughter, she likes to chew. What are y'all thoughts?
I don't got any.
Hmm?
I don't have any. No thoughts at all.
Me neither.
That's interesting. Now the shoe's on the other foot. Now you got to deal with it. And sometimes people don't like to deal with stuff when it hits their house. So now you got to deal with it. Now let's see how this all plays out. Like, we don't like to deal with stuff when it is in our house, but when it's not in our house, we got everything to say.
Absolutely. Well, she's having a high time. And speaking of high times, Willie Nelson is turning 90 years old, and he is having a star-studded concert with performances by Neil Young, Snoop Dogg, and more. Happy birthday to the king of all weed smoking. What are y'all thoughts on this concert?
Happy birthday.
I just know, listen, if you get a ticket to this concert and you walk out the concert sober, you sat in the parking lot.
This is Willie Nelson.
Willie
y'all,
Nelson. Yep.
Y'all know I thought Willie Nelson had gone on.
Oh.
I did. I thought just like I had thought Run DMC had retired already. I thought Willie Nelson was gone up out of here. I really did. But happy birthday, Willie.
Willie is rolling up harder than the grandma on Don't Be a Menace to South Central while drinking your juice in the hood. He is getting blazed every day. And Snoop said he is probably the only person who can outsmoke him.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. So that's all I have for Hot Topics. Rest in peace, of course, to Lisa Marie Presley. But that's all I have for Hot Topics. And rest in peace to Jay Briscoe, Delaware's own professional wrestler. I know it's been crazy with his accident. As people are remembering him, we definitely want to give rest in peace, shout outs to where honor is due. And if I could do a local shout out as we prepare for his service, rest in peace to the king of the washboards from Delaware, Minister Monty Anderson, also, who was a friend to the show. And we definitely wanted to give him a shout out. His presence is definitely going to be missed. When it comes to Jay Briscoe, what I find to be odd is that Warner Brothers Discovery told AEW wrestling organization that they cannot do a tribute, and his brother Mark Briscoe cannot come on air to discuss the wrestling.
Wow. That's crazy.
Absolutely. Wow.
So they can't do a tribute, and his brother can't be on air.
His brother cannot be on air.
Wow.
Yeah, he was hit in a hit on collision from a driver driving the wrong way. Just a couple minutes from his house here in Laurel, Delaware. That which is downstate by the beach territory. He was 38. His daughters were in the vehicle at the time, and since then he had his daughters have undergone surgery. They were banned at one point from appearing on AEW, and the decision was made by Warner Brothers Discovery that the Briscoes did not want Warner Brothers Discovery did not want the Briscoes given the statements from Jay's past. A lot of the statements were homophobic messages. Back in 2011, we are now in 2021. In 2013, there was another message that he posted. So he had a lot of strong personal beliefs about homosexuality. He had a redneck heel character. I don't really think that was a character per se, but like I said, he's not here anymore to discuss. And he actually supports, which is funny, in 2021 he donated his full salary to Partners Against Hate charity. He also supported a lot of LGBTQ plus talent in the locker room, which has been proven. But the this was his wrestler, and because my son's a wrestler, can I just say this? Your wrestling character carries with you throughout your life. If you ever see Mark Callis in person, he is as cold as he is when he plays The Undertaker. If you ever see Flair in person, he is as wild as he is on any episode that you see him on, be it WWE, WCW, or any other wrestling organization that Ric Flair has wrestled for over the past 100,000 years. I'm just saying, you know, so the characters carry, even with my son, we had him come and speak to our young people. And even then he was like, you know, Dad, you're making me break character because I'm not supposed to be doing autographs. I'm a heel right now. And I was like, oh, are you, you know, whatever.
Right.
I'm signing autographs today. But at the end of the day, I do feel that it's very disrespectful for any organization to not honor someone who is the reason or part of the reason you have the money in your pockets that you have right now.
Right.
Right.
So given Ted Turner's past for sleeping with young girls, if he died, let's see if they don't honor him. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, you know, if Vince McMahon dropped dead today, let's see if USA don't do a big tribute to Vince McMahon, given his past for sleeping, or I'm sorry, for fondling and raping half of his talent. So that's my thought to that. I'm done with hot topics on my end. Any hot topics on you guys' end?
Not off the top of my head.
That man has a song for everything.
Top of my head.
One more thing. Sammy's mama, R&B singer Sammy's mama, was arrested for second degree murder.
Whoa.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So the police in Orange County has charged the singer Sammy's mother, Angela Baxter, with second-degree murder and shooting into a vehicle on January the 12th. They apprehended her concerning the shooting of a 27-year-old mother of two, Nikabal Collier. The Collier has suffered a gunshot wound in her abdomen while reportedly picking up food for her family around a mile from her home. Two other victims told authorities that Baxter shot at them while she drove a red SUV. She admitted shooting into the air and at other cars because she thought she was being followed. And police found multiple firearms in Baxter's house after obtaining a search warrant. One of the weapons included a revolver that authorities believe the bullet recovered from Collier's body was found from. Whether she had a connection to any of the victims remains unclear, but at this time, Sammy is requesting privacy for his family and for Collier's family as details about the shooting and his mother's alleged involvement are released. He says he does understand the severity of the allegations. He doesn't have any extra information, but he just wants some respect for his family. Meanwhile, Collier's family has set up a GoFundMe to offset her funeral costs. What I don't understand, and it could be just me, is why do they have to have a GoFundMe? Sammy got money.
But they may not want him to pay for it. So.
He got money. He may not have money.
Yeah.
Sammy got money.
I wonder, but it sounds like his mother had some type of mental illness.
That's what I'm thinking, because
if she's driving around and thinking someone was following her, sounds like she may have some type of mental illness.
Well, she says she felt like she was being followed. Is that a reason to shoot a gun in the air multiple times at cars, especially? And if you are going to shoot, you can't shoot at the tires.
Right. Wow. Our prayers are with family and the other and the family of the victim.
Definitely. Definitely praying for the victim's family and the other victims that were in the car. From what the allegations looks like, because she was shooting from her car, it seems like the bullet traveled and unfortunately struck the young lady in the abdomen. That's all I have for our topics this week, but go ahead.
I said all she was doing was just picking up food for her family.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, our residential physiologist, psychologist, numerologist, anthropologist, hermeneuticologist, all that good stuff. Author himself, Javon Bertrand, it's in your hands.
That's a lot, but thank you. I just want to pose a question. What is success? How do you define success? Not for everybody else, but for you. One thing that I've noticed in dealing with people, easier to define success for other people than it is to define success for ourselves. We can look at other people that have done similar things or different things to us and talk about how successful they are, but we won't see the same success in our own hand. When you look at the word success, when you look at yourself and the word success, what is it that you see? What is it that you define? Why is this important? Because if you cannot define success, everybody else's definition becomes your definition by proxy. When other people's definition of success for you is what you hold on to, you'll never know if you've actually reached success because people move the goalposts.
Mm-hmm.
And in people moving the goalposts, you never know where you're going to land. So you have to be able to define it for yourself in every area, in every thing you attempt to do. Because we're in 2023 now, and people you think support you don't support you. And I don't want to dwell on that, but a lot of us have depended upon other people to define success for us in our business, in our career, in our relationship, even in just our personal life. So we don't have a clue how to celebrate what we've accomplished. And even when we look at success, not only do we need to be able to define it, we also need to be able to look at, do I have a fear of it? Because many people have a fear of success. What if I succeed? What if I never do anything else? What if I'm a one-hit wonder? What if I never get to do anything other than this one thing? So because they think like that, it hinders them from actually moving forward in any dream, any aspiration. They won't go out for that movie part because what if I never get another part? But what if that one part is the only part you ever need?
Mm-hmm.
We look at celebrities and influencers and all of that, but do you have an idea of what success is for you? You know, I had to learn as an author. I can't look at Andre. I can't look at this one. I can't look at that one. Not because they're not good writers, not because they're not successful. My success is different because my audience is different. Because if I'm looking at my success based upon their audience, I'm always going to be a failure because their audience may not ever pick up one of my books. If I look at everybody else's success in business, I'm going to miss my own success because I'm not looking at my clientele. My clientele may not be yours, but if I got people that keep coming, I got success.
Uh-huh.
One person, but when I look at what I've accomplished in 36 years, I've not traveled the world yet, but my work is around the world. Some people can't say that. So they haven't seen my face, but they know my work. Because I stepped out to do something that I had never seen before. Anybody write a book? I had never seen anybody market a book. I had never seen anybody do anything outside of what was relegated to them. Go to school, get a business degree, and work for somebody else. And there's not a problem with that. You can be very successful in that. But that wasn't what my aspiration was. So 10 years later, as an author, and I've sold on 5 continents before my feet have touched the ground. I think that's kind of successful. Now, does that mean I've sold millions of copies at the moment? No, but it doesn't mean that I can't. But I can't look at not having sold millions as a lack of success because I haven't gotten there yet. My life ain't over, so that means my success is still growing. If you define success for you, what would your definition be?
For me, I got to say, I'm sorry, were you asking that as a question?
Yes.
Oh, got you. Okay. For me, I had to change my definition of success. We are literally rewriting and rebranding the ministry. I start from the ministry end because I was taught ministry was about a numbers thing. And I don't know if it was something that I was taught or something that was learned. Let me put it like that. But growing up in church and then being around church folk and leaders in Delaware, we always count the number of congregants we have. You know, once you become a ecclesiastical member of the church, then it becomes how many churches you got under you, how many this you got, how many that you have, what kind of car you drive. But we never count, and so we never count what the word says. And so for me, I had to learn that the effectiveness of my ministry is not garnered based upon how many people belong to the house. If we really look at ministry is everything that happens beyond the church walls, not in the church walls. And I really feel like we have missed that in a lot of teaching with ministry. We have taught ministry as a business for so long that we stopped looking at the demographics of what ministry is. And so I can care, and I'm being honest with you, I can care less how many members ever join the ministry. The question became, what am I doing for my community?
Mm-hmm.
How effective am I in my community? You know,
yeah.
And in my years of ministry, you know, I have always been one of the prominent leaders of our community, and I'm happy about that. Especially to the point now where there are boards who are calling and there are committees who are calling and asking me to sit on committees and on boards for my advice on how we can make this city a better place. So even with business, I had to look at it from the same way. You know, if I have 5 customers who travel, then those 5 customers hopefully will refer 5 customers. Now, the other 5 customers that they refer may not ever buy a travel package. But one thing for certain, if 17 or for sure, you can never say I booked you a flight or I booked you a vacation that you did not enjoy. And so that became a huge thing for me. You know, and then even with some with my event planning company, you know, I may not be Dave Totoro yet, or may not be on his status yet. Let me put it like that, or on his level yet. But if I ever booked you, if I ever planned your event, or if I ever have helped with coordinating your event, you know, anybody who knows me knows I operate in pure excellency. And I would never not operate in excellency. So I feel that success is defined. First of all, in order to be successful, you have to have a clear definition about success and how it relates to you. And then what is your definition based off of? What demographics are you looking at to conjure this definition of success? If you're looking at, well, I have to compare myself to somebody else, you already are failure. Because what was designed for you, or what you started your reasoning, your why, has to be the reason of, or has to be the basis of your definition. If your why was to get rich, then of course you're going to always look at numbers. If your why was to have the biggest business or the biggest building, then you're always going to look at numbers. If your why is, you know, if I don't sell, I'm not successful. If I don't do this, I'm not successful. Or how are we going to do this? You know, stop focusing on money and start looking at your why. Because sometimes your business could be rebranded in a way that not only do you bring in finances through sales, but you also bring in finances through maybe reaching out to the community or reaching out and doing children events or, you know, doing things as a give back. Your why, you know, so I think for me, I had to go back to my why. Why did I get into ministry? Why did I open a traveling business? Why did I open an event planning company? Why do I want to be in a relationship? Why do I want to be Andre? What makes Andre tick?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then based off of what makes me tick and the things that make me happy, that will define my reasoning for success. Why did I write a book? I didn't write a book to become a number one author. I wrote a book because somebody needed wisdom.
Right.
You know, and because I can't talk to a million people at one time, I sure enough can put it in words and let you read it.
True.
That part.
And it'll help somebody. You know, I don't have 100,000 friends. But the ones I have, I don't even call friends. I call them my siblings. You know,
if I
call you a sibling and we're not blood, then yeah, you know, that's my definition of a friend, because I don't have friends. If I call you a friend, you are an associate. That's a problem to me.
Mm.
I don't count on my friends, but I rely on my siblings.
Right.
So that's how I look at life, Maurice.
Success has been one of the things that I'm still learning to manage. I wouldn't say that I've been successful in all areas of my life, but I'm learning to not be as scared of success. I'm learning to embrace it. And learning that there are times where it may look like you're failing, but that's not failure. That's actually, sometimes you got to go back and reinvent the wheel, or you got to take it again and you got to look at it a little differently. I think we often measure success by financial status. We have to be careful with doing that as well, because I think that erodes away what we deem as success, or what is real success versus fake, that falseness. If I'm going to be successful, it's going to take time. I'm just getting to a point of realizing that success is going to take time, but it also means you're going to have to put in the work. And many of us don't want to put the work in because we want the end results, but we don't want to put the work in.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to we want to give up in the middle of when something don't look right or it don't feel right, or we lose groups of people, or we lose strength, or we become ill. But I think we need to learn how to embrace success, but embrace it to the point to where we get to the next level or the next step. Because I feel like we don't do that often. We want it to be successful right then and right there. And maybe it may take 10 years for your business to reach a plateau of success. It might take 15, it might take 20, but however long it takes, just go along with it and not fight the process. Because I think we do that a lot. We really fight process.
I agree. Absolutely. And we also have to be okay with the definition changing. What I saw success as at 21, I don't see that at 36. Not that my definition was wrong at 21, but I've had different experiences. I've had different situations to come along that have caused me to see life differently. So sometimes it's not even anything more than sometimes we just need to sit and evaluate that there may need to be a change in our definition. And whatever we're looking at, because whether it's relationship or ministry or business or whatever, things change. You change. You're not the same person you were last year, 10 years ago. So your definitions change. And it doesn't make you bad or wrong. It's just you have to accept whatever your definition is and not be caught up in how it plays out for everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, because looking at what other people think your success should be is what's going to be a destructive place for you, because most people determine what your success should be based upon what they think their success should be. So it's not even a proper view, because most times I don't want you to be more successful than me. I'm never going to say that. But if you ask me what your success looks like, it's always going to be diminished in my mind, because I don't want you to outshine me, because I don't understand what shine is.
Mm-hmm. I know
the reality is, go ahead.
I notice in church, we tend to do that. We tend to, we call it, people are jealous of my anointing. And there's, no, they're not jealous of your anointing. They don't want you to be successful. Because I see a lot of people that are great in some areas and lack in others, and where they lack where they're great at overshadows where they're weak. And some people will see your strength and become, I say, they just don't want you to be successful. I don't think they're jealous. I think they don't want you to be more successful than they are. So I guess we could say jealousy. I guess we could say it's a hint of jealousy. But
can be a form of jealousy.
Yeah. Because I feel like people, they were upset with me because they were jealous of my anointing, and my anointing was just, they just saw something great in you, and they were intimidated by what they saw.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's a real place because for most people, it's not even intentional in the sense that they're going out to prove that they're jealous of you. For a lot of people, it's not inherent. It's just the reality of how they've been built. Never let somebody be better than you. But the reality is, I need somebody to be better than me, because if somebody's not better than me, what do I go to? Where's the aspiration to do better? Not that I need to be them, but when there is a better, there's something to come up to. I think about it. Go ahead, Dre.
I was just going to say, you know, it's not even just in church, but also, like, and what behooves me is it's in a lot of our families. You know, like, now that I'm at a point where, you know, not just myself, but also my mother, we're both in the process of buying a home. And it really shocked me at the lack of support we have from people who already have homes in our family. Like, the lack of, you know, oh my God, I'm so proud of you. This is a good, you know, this is a good look. You know, it's almost like, I believe it when I see it. It has become the norm of the family life now. And my biggest, oh my God, I don't know what they're getting that for. Like, you know, that they're not going to survive. Like, how, you know, how dare you disrespect, you know, what I'm doing. You know, as if you have wrote a book on how to be great at it. You know, I feel like that to me right now is one of the biggest things I have an issue with in today's society, is that we do not push our family members to be great.
Right.
No, because I feel like we don't want them to be great, because, again, it shows some sign of weakness in us, because we claim we want them to be great, we want them to be successful, but we don't, because we don't want them to get ahead of us. It reminds me of when young people would go to college in the 80s and 90s and then go back home and be told, oh, you think you're better than me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What does getting a college
you
degree?
You got that little degree now. You think you all
yep.
that?
Right. Little what? Do you know
you
what
got
I
your
had
little
to
business
do?
Started.
Right.
Yeah, I hate that word.
Back to that mentality.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. You got you a little car. Now you think you everything.
Right. It's not okay to be sick. We got that mindset that it's not okay to be successful, and that's not the case.
Yeah,
correct.
Uh-oh.
And I don't think people realize the damage you cause by you even stating something like that. Oh, you got you a little man now. Now you think you all that the bag of chips. No, I'm just not bitter and single like you. It's different.
Right.
You think I'm all that.
Right.
That's not my fault.
So I think that when we talk about success, what does that look like for everyone? Because someone else's success, and that's the thing. We're looking at how someone is successful, and we try to, I don't want to say imitate how someone became successful, but that's not the way we will become successful. It's by imitation.
Right.
We have to come naturally, and it has to come a certain way. I feel like that's one of the reasons why people are not successful, because we try to do it the way we saw someone else do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked for them, but that may not be what's going to work for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you don't and for a lot of people, you don't understand what it took for them to get to that level that they're at. Like, you know, if you imitate, like my grandfather used to always tell me, if you try to do what I do, that means you got to walk in my shoes. And what I had to walk through, you might not be able to tolerate.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's another thing for me is, you know, why would you even want to try to walk in my shoes? You know how much hell I had to go through? Can you handle the hell I had
Absolutely.
To go through?
I don't think so.
Like, would you even want to handle the hell I had to go through? Is the first question. And if you
that
do,
is the question.
Let me holler at you.
Yeah, I think we have a lot of people imitating what success should be instead of really finding out what is success really, how should it look for them.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that
that's always going to be our issue, because we don't know what it looks like for us. We know what it looks like for everybody else, and we try to bite off of what it is for everybody else. It's unfair and it's unrealistic, because bite off what you've done when I don't even have grace for what you've done.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it happens a lot, especially amongst those of us that profess Christ, because we don't know how to be unified in Him but diverse in ourselves. So we're trying to do everything that we see everybody else do, and it's not a good look.
Not yeah. at all.
Definitely not a good look. Definitely not a good look. So I definitely agree with that. I do feel that we have to do better.
Absolutely.
We have to do better. Right now, yeah, it's almost like we're struggling as a people, you know, just to be successful. And, you know, like the songwriter said, you know, I just want to be successful. But how can you be successful if your basis for success is not what you lined it up to be, because you have the wrong idea of what success is?
Well, how can I be successful when I don't even know what that means? I feel like a lot of us don't know what success truly is, because we've always faced issues and problems, and always seemed like there were things that held us back. So I don't feel like many of us know the true meaning of success and to be happy when it comes. We can experience success but be very unhappy or very cautious of it because we never felt it or we never had it happen.
I agree. And can we normalize, like, is there a way in y'all eyes that we can normalize, number one, how to teach success? Because I'm a strong believer that if you don't understand it, how can you teach it?
I think that
should go for educators as well as family members.
I don't think you can necessarily teach success, but I think you can teach the steps toward moving to progressing toward success. Because, again, we said success is going to look different for everybody. So mm-hmm. can't look the same. The way it looked for me may not look the way that it looked for you and the way it looked for Bertrand. So we can't say it. I think we can say create healthy or create steps that this is how you get to where you want to be and be successful. But I don't think we can say that we can teach how I did it and this is what works. It's just like, for some people, that method didn't work. For that method may not work for me. So how do I tweak it, or no, I won't say manipulate it, but how do I tweak it so that what worked for you can now work for me?
Right. So I can give you principles, I can give you wisdom, I can give you advice, but I can't make a cookie cutter where everything looks exactly the same. Because it won't be exactly the same. But if you're willing to learn, because sometimes it's not that people don't have what they need. They don't want to use it. They want to circumvent process. They want to circumvent struggle to get to where they think they should be, because they want to be an overnight success. But anybody that's really been in anything for any length of time, I tell you, there's no such thing as an overnight success. You're just right. Now seeing me, but I've been doing the work for 15 years. I've
right.
been doing the work that it takes to be here, despite the fact that you didn't see me. So I can give you principles, I can give you wisdom, and I can encourage you. I think that's something that's definitely missing, because we have this, you know, I had to get it by the grit of my teeth, and so do you. No, I should want the people around me not to have to go through what I went through. Even if you have a hard time, I want to support you where I didn't have support.
Right.
Because if everybody got to make it by the grit of their teeth, we're going to be walking around here with some broke teeth.
Toothless.
Right. We might as well be
gumming.
If everybody's got to do it by the grit of their teeth. No, I can give you some pointers. I can give you some wisdom and principles and some encouragement so you don't have to go at it like that. I think that's something that's important.
I think what we need to normalize is being a mentor to those who want a mentor to those who want to be successful. I think we need to normalize that and normalize celebrating success, because many of us don't know how to celebrate when things happen to us. We don't know how to be our own party giver. We can have pity parties, but when it comes to something that is bringing us joy, we don't know how to celebrate that, because again, we're waiting for the other shoe to drop or something bad to happen, and we need to learn how to celebrate celebrate successes. Celebrate when something great happens to you. You know, we need to learn how to celebrate those. So I would say let's normalize that.
Phyllis, I think I'm done. I think this was good conversation. It's always something we can come back to, because success is never just a one-time deal. But, you know, we really have to process. Do I fear success? Do I fear actually making it, achieving it? What weight have I put on myself before I even gotten there? Do I fear failure? Do I look at it as failure, or do I look at it as process? Because the way you perceive a thing will determine how you handle it. I know for me, I personally don't like the word failure. So when something doesn't work the way I thought it would or the way that I wanted it to, I say I'm being processed. I'm learning something to get to the right way of doing it. I'm learning how to take the pieces that I have that work and put them with other pieces to work for the next part. But we have to look at those things, because if I fear failure or if I fear process, I'm going to self-sabotage. If I fear success, I'm going to self-sabotage, or I'm going to garner people that cannot help me. This story is something that I use after I heard it. On Shark Tank, I saw the founder of Famous Amos Cookies. He was a cookie maker. He just wanted to sell cookies. He wasn't a good businessman. So every time he needed help or he needed finance, he gave away equity in his company, to the point that not only did they get the cookies, not only did they get the recipe, they got his likeness and his story. He can't tell his story of how Famous Amos came about because it no longer belongs to him, because he had people around him that could see the success but took advantage of his inability to do business.
Wow.
So we also have to look at the success of the relationships around us. Are you a support to me? Are you a benefit to me? Because my success is is not only a labor of mine, it's a labor of those around me. Because when I was ready to give up, who did I lean on? When I didn't know if I was going to make it, who did I talk to? When I was at the brink of making it happen, who celebrated with me? So my success is not only on me in that regard, but a lot of times we don't think about the people around us. But that famous Amos story makes me think about that all of the time, because this man had this amazing recipe, these amazing cookies, but because he didn't have people that could help, that wanted to help him with business, they understood the business, but they didn't help him. He lost his fortune. He lost his story. He lost his recipe. He even lost his likeness because those around him saw his success more than they saw his person.
Wow.
Now they're still making money, and he's trying to figure out what he's going to do.
Yeah, that would piss me off.
That's I never heard that story before, so that's interesting.
Yeah, it was on Sunday because he was trying to start another cookie company, and they enjoyed the cookie, but they were like, you know, it's going to be kind of hard to really push you because we can't utilize your story. So you have to become a whole new person.
You have to become a whole new person. Right.
Wow.
We can't use your story. We can't use what you came through. We can't use the fact that people already know who you are. So it's literally, we're going to have to build it from the ground, and that's not the easiest thing to do in food.
Right.
So he didn't even get a deal because there's not much we can do for you. It would be too much work.
Wow. Wow.
And how would you handle that? Like, y'all know that would
I'll be devastated. That would devastate me.
And he was devastated for a long time because there's nothing he could do. There's no legal recourse because you gave this equity away. There's no business recourse because you sold all of this stuff to these people, and though they could have been better to you and aided you in keeping some of your company, they didn't. But all you can do is be upset, cry, and start over.
And how do you start over? How do you start over? Like, once your whole likeness, once all this has happened, how do you even start over from that?
Right.
That's a lot. It's like what the sharks were telling him. It's like he had to become a whole new person. You got to create a whole new story. But in creating a new story, you don't know what people are going to latch on to. You don't know what people are. So that's what happened. I haven't done an update on it recently, but I'm going to look into it and see if anything happened. That was a few years ago. But still, you know, I mean, think about it. You know Famous Amos. You know that cookie in the bag.
Mm-hmm.
And now the person that started it is never going to profit from it.
Because he gave it away.
Because he didn't have people around him that were in it for his success. They were in it for themselves.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Because he'll tell you, I wanted to sell cookies. I didn't know nothing about business, and I brought people on that I thought would help me with my business, and they took it from me.
Wow.
This is why we can't go at everything alone. But when I define my success, I also define the relationships I need. I do ministry. I'm an author. I do this. I do that. So when I define my success, okay, I need these type of people around me. I know how to write the curriculum. I know how to produce a curriculum, but I may need some help in administration. I will write the book. I know how to publish the book, but I may need some help in marketing. So I'm not looking for another publisher. I'm looking for people that do marketing. How can you help me get this out? What can you do for, as far as flyers, as book trailers? How can you help me with social media? Can you handle my social media posts and marketing with my books? Because I already did the other work. But this is where I need help. This is where I need the relationship in my success. Because my
right.
The first part of the success is done. The book is already present. But now I need to be able to get it in front of other people.
Mm-hmm.
Don't, not that I don't have relationship with authors, but I don't go setting up relationship with authors when I need marketing help.
Right.
But I know authors just in life. I help them, they help me. But that's not where I need expertise right now. So when I define my success, when I look for assistance, I also am looking for the proper expertise and not just people that look like they can help me, but people that want to help me with what
mm-hmm.
they got. They got the principles, they have the wisdom, they have the encouragement. We can go to that next place.
I think we need to do a part two to this. Because there's so many,
let's do it.
There's so many things you can pull out of this, and something you said earlier, I want to go back. The fear of success. People often fear
mm-hmm.
being successful because they're constantly told that it'll change them and all of that. And I want us to. I think that's something we really need to talk about, especially amongst people of color. We always put someone down when they're successful because they're successful, but we're fearing our success and not doing what we need to do. But we're putting someone else
right.
down because they're in the place where we want to be and we're scared to allow them to be great. So I think we need to deal. I think that is one area we definitely need to deal with.
Absolutely. We've become masters of deflection. But I feel and I put it on you.
Yep.
So you're successful in, or you're as successful as I think you should be in my mind, and because I'm not anywhere near what I think in my mind about me, I have to tear you down.
Right.
So yeah, let's definitely look at it again.
I agree.
Yeah, let's do. I think we need to talk about this some more.
Awesome. So we are definitely going to bring this back to the show, and when we do, we would like to hear your thoughts on success and how do you define success. So our challenge is going to be. When we bring it back to the show, for you guys, the audience to call in, our listeners to call in and let us know how do you define success, but also why are you so afraid of success? And that can be in a number of things: your relationships, your personal life, your business, your
mm-hmm.
your friendships. These are areas that I believe our folk really fall short of understanding what makes these things successful. And so we want to have you call in on the next show. When we bring this back. And as always, you can feel free to call in as a guest, 319-527-6083. And I'm going to start announcing this number before we get to our weekly discussion.
Yes.
But 319-527-6083. You can also hit us after the show is over on our Facebook page, our IG page, Your Brothers Podcast is our handle on both Facebook and Instagram. And you can always comment on our Blog Talk page directly. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share, add to your playlist on your Apple Podcast and your iHeartRadio podcast. And as always, you know, we thank you guys for tuning in. We thank you guys for loving us the way you do. We love your back. I promise we do. Next week, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with you.
Okay. Next week, show, same time, same podcast channel. Is it my go or Maurice, is it your go?
No, it's yours.
I was trying to dip it off.
I know you were.
Next week's show,
trifling.
We will be discussing, really, though, trifling?
Trifling.
The devil is a liar. Next week's show, we will be discussing unwarranted press. Will be our topic next week, unwarranted press. Why people use social media to broadcast lies will be our discussion next week. Very interesting discussion indeed. If you want to contribute to the show, by all means, we invite you to give us a call on our caller line. But we are going to discuss that next week. And as always, once again, we thank you so much for tuning into the Brothers Podcast. For our residential professor from Charm City, where you got to be more careful, Marcus Stevenson, for our residential everything, our residential knowledge and wisdom person from the City of Brotherly Love, Javon Bertrand, and from your boy, yours truly, from the great DE. We wish you a great night, a great week, and we will see you guys on next week's show.
All right. See you next week.
Signing off. We
love you.
We holler.